And good morning and welcome to Tell Somebody. My name is Mike Murphy, filling in for Tom Clammer. And we have Royce Handy here in the studio and Ira Harrett, both with the American Friends Service Committee. And good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Ira, for our listeners who may not be familiar with the American Friends Service Committee,
AFSC is a Quaker-based peace and social justice organization. We were founded in 1917 after World War I to provide relief and aid to both sides of the war in Europe. In 1947, we won the Nobel Peace Prize along with the British Quaker Service. AFSC has programs all across the world and in the U.S., focusing on empowering communities so that they can address the issues that challenge them, both in the U.S. and around the world, and then also working on peace education or peace building to reduce the causes of violence and conflict in the world.
So how's that working out for you?
I'm afraid I have job security.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about the history of AFSC here in Kansas City.
Well, we've been in Kansas City. We were here during the Vietnam War, had an office that worked to provide alternative service and draft counseling to draftees or potential draftees. The office closed after the war was over and then reopened in, I think it was 79, as a volunteer committee, and then continues to today. Over the years, we've worked on everything from Central American issues related to El Salvador and Nicaragua in the early days to leading the local anti-apartheid network to economic justice. Throughout the last 30 years, almost, we've been working on conflict resolution and youth empowerment programs. And today we're going to talk about what form that takes in recent years.
Okay, well, that's great. And so right now you've got this All of Us Are None poster art exhibit happening in town. So this is, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. This is this is a local version of a national effort.
Right. There's a national exhibit that was put together, All of Us Are None, Humanized, Not Militarized. Over the years, AFSC has been very creative, and we here in Kansas City have used the arts to help focus opinion and express ideas about conflicts and challenges and ways that we could be in our society. Actually, art has a unique ability to impact culture. And one of the challenges that we have in our society is there's so much that reinforces and or creates a culture that believes in violence, that believes in individualism and allowing others to suffer and fail, that, I don't know, somehow values greed. So the ideas of compassion and community are weakened in the face of those other kinds of materialistic values. And so art has a way of kind of holding a mirror up to people and letting them see what's really going on and maybe taking another look. And so the All of Us Are None project does that, helps do that, and uses the form of poster art, kind of hearkening back to the centuries of use of posters to promote social change. And we here in Kansas City kind of took that as a way of focusing youth energies and getting them to think about how poster art has been used in the past in social movements, and then applying it to today, to the concerns and issues that they have. And so we worked with many groups, and actually maybe I'll invite Royce Handy, who's here with me, who's one of our AFSC Peace interns, who worked with many groups in the community to prepare them to make posters that are on display along with the artwork from artists from across the country.
Yeah, we worked with youth from Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, just all over the metro, Wyandotte High School, Paseo High School, Northeast Library, Plaza Library, and just different youth organizations. And it was interesting because when you look at how art impacts culture and mirrors culture to show what's going on or influences what's going on, it's good to see youth want to be a part of something that they can champion for themselves instead of us going to them and saying, hey, this is what you should believe in or this is what you should champion. It's giving them a platform to get out their own ideas, their own causes, their own cares about what's going on in their personal lives and around them in society, in Kansas City specifically. So it's definitely been great to see how poster art specifically can give them that voice.
So how did this go? Like, so there's this national exhibit. Did you familiarize the local youth here with that to give them an idea of what is meant by this poster art? Or,
well, we began first with getting them to start thinking about injustices and issues in the community. And so we engaged them in a very interactive series of activities that got them thinking about, you know, the way things were and whether they really liked that. And then we got them to talk about their issues and concerns that they had and thoughts they had in response to the activities. And then got them to start thinking about what kind of message they would want to put in a poster. We introduced posters from movements of the past, the civil rights movement, the farm workers movement, the suffrage movement, Vietnam War anti-war movement, the war against poverty.
Immigration.
Actually, there's one of the images that we used was a picture of a Nike sneaker, and a very simple image, but very powerful, impacted the youth. And basically just the words were, some kids wear them or wear it, other kids make it. Wow. And so just to raise the idea of, you know, how can you use posters in art to communicate a message? And so that simple message with a picture of a Nike sneaker, you know, speaks about child labor and sweatshops and you know, inequality around the globe. And so then after that, we got them to, refine their messages. And then we did kind of a little poster 101 where we just analyzed posters from the AFSC exhibit in terms of what makes them effective and how that might help them make effective posters.
And so for our listeners who are interested, is there a place that they can look at some of these online? Or?
Well, online, the national exhibit is at all of us or not, or allofus.afsc.org is the site for the national exhibit. They can go to American Friends Service Committee Kansas City Facebook page. And there are some posters that are posted there from the Cristo Rey High School. And we'll eventually have more images from posters up online at that website, at that Facebook site. But that's what we have now. And then the best thing to do is for people to come out and see them in person.
And so you have them distributed at five different locations. Does that mean, like, there's five separate exhibits, or is it the same thing replicated in five places, or a combination, or?
No, I think there are over 40 images from the National Exhibit, and so we have them divided. Actually, we had the organizers send us duplicates of several of the images, but there are images at the five different locations. I think Paseo has 17, and most of the other sites have between 7 and 10. And those sites are, Royce, why don't you tell them?
Paseo Academy Art Gallery, the Plaza Library, the Northeast Library, Southeast Library, and Cristo Rey High School. And this December 4th is our first art opening at Paseo Academy, and we will have a exhibit that will be showing off not only Paseo's students' posters, which are very good, but some of the national exhibits, and we'll have other things going on as well.
So Paseo, I'm looking at the flyer here. It says Paseo Academy Art Gallery. So they have their own art gallery there?
They have an art gallery there. And actually, this event, which is from 6:30 to 9, coincides with their seasonal coffee house, which features students at the school performing poetry, music, dance, and other arts.
Oh, so that's good. And so the Paseo Academy is at 4747 Flora, and in Kansas City, Missouri. And so there's an opening Friday night, but if people aren't able to make it to the opening and they want to see it, go to Paseo Academy, it would just be during school hours?
School hours, although they should call the school and make sure that someone's available to take them to the gallery.
Yeah, I would think that schools would be a little hesitant to just open to the public during school hours these days.
Right, but at Cristo Rey High School, that exhibit is open from noon to 6, and you can just walk in and see the exhibit. It's in the front main hallway of the school, and the other locations are libraries, and they're just available to be seen during library hours. And that's Southeast Library, Northeast Library, and the Plaza Library. And then at the Northeast Library, there's an opening on Sunday, December 6th, from 2 to 4. And let's see, at the Northeast Library, we also have works that were made by students or youth that attended a workshop at Northeast Library and also at Turner High School. We worked with three different classes at Turner, and I think there's over 30 pieces that are exhibited from Turner High School at the library as well, and pieces from the traveling exhibit.
So I'm not familiar with Northeast Library. Is that north of the river?
No, it's just a little bit north of Independence Avenue.
Okay.
That's at 6000 Wilson Avenue. It's and a little bit east of 435, maybe a mile or so east of 435.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, not east, west of 435.
Okay, yeah, right.
Inside the loop,
right. And so those are where the openings are. And so tell us a little bit about, maybe share some of the experiences of you know, some of your favorite experiences from dealing with the youth.
One of my favorite was at Paseo High School the first day we went, I believe, and we had a very large class, and it was kind of wild for a while, and I think after like 30 minutes or something, some of the kids went to another class, and so they were able to open up a little bit more and focus more, and I got to talk to one Latino, a male student, I forgot his name, but he was talking about how immigration has affected his family directly. It was an incident involving a car accident or something, and the police came and found out that his mother was undocumented and took her away, and it was just stressful on the family. And he's, you know, 10th, 11th grade, and this has happened to him. So to hear his voice and to hear that this is not something that he's just talking about because it's popular, but because it has actually affected him, talking to children and learning those type of stories that have affected them directly has been one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, over and over again, one of the things that is powerful in doing this work is seeing youth take their experiences and putting it into some form. after the first of the year, we do a If I Could Change the World spoken word project. And so it's they take their experience and turn it into poetry. But here we've worked with them to turn it into poster art. And while some of the posters are, you know, I don't know, simple or, you know, they're not great artistic works, you know, they're very sincere and they're very real. And so they you know, talk about what the issues and the concerns are that the youth have. And it ranges from, you know, cyberbullying and racism to child abuse to
fracking
one to, you know, concern about animal welfare to war to peace to the belief that we can get along. There were a number of posters that spoke to a solidarity with those that had been killed in Paris.
Police brutality
was one that came up a number of times. Anyway, many, many, you know, issues that are of concern to high school youth in our community.
So you've got these five locations, and they're all and so these exhibits will be available. In fact, they're available right now already, right?
That's correct.
And through the 18th, the week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And were there anything that, like, I'm sure you could, going into this, you could probably figure out some of the issues that would be important to the youth that they highlighted. But were there any ones that, like, surprised you that...
I don't know that we were surprised, or I was surprised. I think, as Royce mentioned, you know, the stories that youth shared. Actually, I remember one poster spoke about kind of isolation from because the artist was a gay person, and so just sort of how open he was to share, you know, that experience. And so in addition to making the art, we all asked the youth to make, you know, to have titles of their pieces and a comment about it. And so some of the comments were also very powerful and heartfelt. And those are on cards next to both the youth and the traveling artists' created pieces. And so, yeah, I don't know that any... I know that the youth are a part of our society, and there was a couple of youth from Turner that made a poster that says guns don't kill people, people kill people. But I think we had probably 5 or 10 more that said, you know, control guns,
yeah,
or
no
guns.
Really? Yeah.
So he was in the minority, but, you know, he had his voice.
Yeah, exactly. You still gave him a voice. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to play a couple of messages, and we'll be back with Royce Handy and Ira Harrod from the American Friends Service Committee. First, these messages.
Increasingly, police do not live in the neighborhoods or even the cities that they patrol. But is that a problem? Law enforcement agencies around the country are struggling for answers to a question that's about race, class, and geography. The elusive neighborhood cop on Making Contact, Thursday, 12:30 p.m.
Khadija, I heard about this radio show. It's about race.
What? A show about race?
Yeah, on the radio. It's on the community radio station, KKFI.
You're supposed to talk about that around your kitchen table.
Yeah, and that's what I thought, but it's actually on the radio talking about race and racial things.
What time is it?
It's 7 o'clock Thursday.
And what's the name of this show?
Khadija and the White Guy.
Say what?
Yeah, Keith Washburn and...
Khadija Hardaway.
See you then, Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Democracy Now! Broadcasts live from the UN Climate Summit every weekday from 8 to 9 a.m. through December 11th, right here on KKFI. And we're back here. Mike Murphy filling in for Tell Somebody, along with Royce Handy and Ira Harrod from the American Friends Service Committee. And it occurs to me that I should disclose my relationship with the American Friends Service Committee. I serve on the local program committee here and also on the regional executive committee. And so AFSC is near and dear to my heart. And we're talking about the All of Us Are None poster art exhibit that's been using art to empower youth, give youth a voice. And where do you guys, like, what's your definition of a really successful endeavor? Like, in terms of, it seems to me like, you know you're maybe passing on a torch, in a sense, I don't know, to these youth. Where do you see them, you know, where do you hope that will lead to?
So we did the Plaza Library. I forgot the name of the group, but so we talked to all the kids and asked them, you know, what school they go to and what do they want to do, along with their ideas for the poster. And a lot of them were, hey, I want to go to college for political science. I want to help change policy. I want to help change laws. I want to help change government. I want to make change, not just, you know, hey, this is a great thing to be a part of right now. But I actually, in the future, like, my mind is already towards planning my career on what my foundational beliefs are that we're putting on these posters right now. So that's what I see as far as the future or passing the torch. They're going to be the ones that are going to be leading and being society, controlling things. So to see their minds and how progressive they are and how much they want equality, they weren't very familiar with the historical posters of the civil rights movement, the sanitation strikes and things of that nature. But the stuff that's going on right now, they're just like ready to go. And I think this is giving them great direction and structure. But hearing from them what they actually want to do and are going to do, a lot of them are already in college programs in high school that are shaping them to do active work.
I think, yeah, just as Royce commented, this project and the one we do after the first of the year has to do with inspiring youth to see themselves not just as passive consumers in our society, but people able to first speak, to form opinions, to speak out. And then in this summer, we do a two-week social change institute in which we work with youth over that period of time and provide for them experiences that give them knowledge about the principles and skills of nonviolent social change and in organizing and in analysis of issues, understanding power dynamics and allies and lobbying and advocacy and mobilization, and then also provide them with a project, or actually have them create a project that they actually apply the skills. Last year, actually, it was very kind of timely that the youth participated in the campaign to raise the minimum wage in Kansas City. And so they learned about the issue. They did phone banking. They did canvassing on the street, getting people to sign pledge cards. They made posters. They participated in a march and a rally. And they were interviewed on radio and TV. And so they had a really powerful experience. And I just know that those youth will take that with them and use it for the rest of their lives. And so that is one of the things, the idea of passing on the torch, planting seeds that will sprout. And then we also seek to work with those youth that we've worked with. And we're still kind of developing that side of the program on a more ongoing basis.
If anyone wants to join in on the conversation, ask our guests a question or make a comment, feel free to call us at 816-931-5534. We'll be glad to include you in this discussion. We're talking about the All of Us Are None poster art exhibit sponsored by the American Friends Service Committee. And so I've got a couple of questions. I'm trying to decide which to ask first. So in terms of, like, the youth that participated in this, was it a self-selecting group, like, in terms of, like, people that had artistic talent or predisposition, and B, had a predisposition towards social change?
Actually, one of the first things we do with these projects is to do outreach to organizations and educators to find partners that that want to work with us and see this as something that's valuable for the youth they work with or incorporate can be incorporated into their school classroom. So we worked with 12 different sites this year. Several of them were through the Youth Volunteer Corps. So their Youth Volunteer Corps is about service, but they also recognize that there needs to be social change. And so they were very happy to partner with us on this. So as Royce had mentioned, they're from all over the metro. Turner High School, KCK, in KCK, Wyandotte High School, Reach KCK, a Catholic Associated Youth Group, all these different libraries, and then also Paseo High School, Alta Vista High School, Cristo Rey, and so a large number of students. And one of the successes is while we recognize that if we try to reach too many students, that we're going to probably be an inch deep and a mile wide. But I'm pleased that we probably involved 250 youth in the different programs. And out of that, I think right now we have over 150 posters in hand and more coming.
I've had two callers call in that I've transferred into our system, and then before we could get to them, they hung up. So call again, 816-931-5534, and share your thoughts with that. So, and then another question is, what were there difficulties? Like, what kind of cooperation did you get from schools? Were there some schools that were not interested, that found this too controversial, or?
I think our response, mostly it was, I think, probably teachers and youth workers that were too busy to kind of just really be able to figure out how to incorporate this into their program and take the time and or even, you know, kind of really take the time to understand what it was to be involved. We didn't have it. I don't think any institution that was concerned. We had a conversation. I had a conversation with a librarian from Northeast Library who shared with me that she was telling her family during Thanksgiving that about the project. And they said, well, and are the youth interested? Do you get buy-in? And she said, you know, yes, that was one of the things that in a way surprised some of her relatives, that, you know, talking about these kind of important issues, you know, isn't something that puts the kids to sleep. In fact, she said, well, one of the kids that came to this lock-in that they did thought it was going to be about video games, but he still got into it. So even though he, you know, kind of somehow had the wrong idea, and we work very hard to empower youth, to make their ideas and opinions have them feel that their ideas and opinions are valued, and also just to have fun together. So,
okay, we do have a caller on the air. You are on the air, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Janet. I'm here. I'm in the Turner area of KCK, okay. And I have met you, Mike, and I've also Ira at, I think, some interfaith council meetings.
Okay, is your radio turned down?
I was curious. Okay, I called the high school. Is this an art display that Ira was talking about held at Turner and at another high school?
No, Turner. I think, how many Turner classes participated? I think there were maybe four Turner classes that were part of a JAG program that they have there. But their posters are on a display at the Northeast Kansas City, Missouri Library at 6000 Wilson Avenue.
All right. I was hoping that there was something very locally and nearby that I could just go to very conveniently, but thank you. Thank you for that information.
Well, maybe if you want to work with us for next year, maybe you can help us arrange for an exhibit at Turner next year.
Okay. Okay, that's an idea. Thank you,
Ira.
Okay,
contact us. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Janet. 816-931-5534 is the number, and that's the number if you want to call in and join in on this conversation like Janet just did. But if people do want to engage with American Friends Service Committee, what's the best way to do that?
Well, our phone number is 816-931-5256, 816-931-5256. And actually, our work is largely done through the efforts of volunteer support and committee members. And so actually, in addition to our youth work, we also have a program called Move the Money, which is about looking at how our what kind of priorities are set and what causes those puts those priorities in place. It's based on listening sessions we held with 43 community leaders about community needs, the impact of budget cutting and revenue policy, military spending, and priorities that would better meet community needs. And so we're kind of moving along to another phase of the project where we're seeking out a broad support of a statement based on what we heard in those listening sessions. And in fact, the theme of that project will be part of the 2016 Martin Luther King Forum that will take place on January 18th. That's that Monday, the King holiday, from 3:30 to 5 in the afternoon at Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church. And the title of that is Moving the Money, Concrete Ways to Increase Economic Justice for All People.
And so for our listeners that may not be familiar, you hold this generally at the church where the big King celebration is that night. So
correct.
This is like a...
So there's a mass celebration that's at 6, starts at 6, and then this will be in the afternoon before that. Yeah, it's usually a wonderful event. There will be a panel of leaders. Usually we have more than around 200 people that are attending, groups tabling with information. Basically, it's not just celebrating King as a heroic figure, but really looking at the radical call for change and justice that he made and what people are doing today to make that a reality.
Okay, we do have another caller on the air. You're on the air, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Mike, and I'm calling from the mean streets of Olathe. If a student did a depiction of Tom Clammer heading up a violent protest against the Bannister Federal Complex, would that be considered within or outside the boundaries of good taste?
I'll let you guys answer that. Thanks for that call. Any other comments?
No. I just, Mr. Clammer's got to be the calmest man with the most passionate fire within him. I mean, the voice does not match what lies beneath. He's very interesting.
All right. Well, thanks. We appreciate that call.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. And I don't know if you could hear that. There was a little unclear, I mean, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, a little bit a tip of the hat to the normal host of this program, Tom Clammer. I think what he was saying was if someone drew poster art that depicted Tom Clammer in violent protest against the Bannister Federal Complex, would that be in good taste or not?
Well, speaking as a representative of a pacifist organization, I think active protest is essential. Violent protest, not very constructive usually.
Okay. Well, thanks for that call. If anyone else wants to join in, 816-931-5534. We would appreciate hearing from you. And so the first caller made a point about, well, kind of tangentially made this point that although it seems like people on the students on the Kansas side were very much involved, all the exhibits are on the Missouri side. And was that because it was hard to get into?
It was, I think, partly the timing of when people signed on. Also, actually, some of the Kansas sites were not directly with the school. Mm-hmm. They were through another intermediary organization. So making arrangements to have the exhibit at that location or at a particular location was not,
I got you.
You know, as direct a channel. So, and I think also just the timing was that happened later in our process. But I also noticed that and thought, well, this is really, we should have the exhibits more distributed around the metro.
Okay. So before we were treated to that image of Tom Clamor in violent protest, we were talking about Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. ironically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think we got a chance to fully finish that. So
we hold an annual MLK forum, and it has always been a very insightful kind of event with different interesting leaders in the community. I hope it will also be one this year, as I will be on the panel. I haven't been in the past. One of the supporters of the project has been Dr. Vernon Howard, who's now the president of SCLC, has
Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
Yes, who sponsors the King celebrations, and he's also going to serve as moderator of the panel on that afternoon, the 18th. And so he actually suggested that I serve on the panel. So I was honored to be asked.
Yeah, well, that's great. And is everyone else?
We're still working on filling out all the different panel slots, but we're making some progress.
And remind us what the theme is, the title of the...
Moving the Money, Concrete Steps to Economic Justice for All People.
And this was Dr. Howard's suggestion to refer to the AFSC project of Move the Money.
Right. AFSC organizes it, but I consulted with him, and he had some good ideas, and so we... was very happy to kind of go along with his suggestions and include him in the leadership of this event.
That's great. And so when we're talking about Move the Money, we're talking about budget priorities, basically, right?
Yes, but it's budget priorities, but it's also revenue policy, and so it's right now. Money is being moved from lower-income people. The tax burden is being placed more on lower-income and middle-income people and away from higher-income people. And so the money needs to be moved from this welfare for the wealthiest citizens and for the corporations and also has to be moved from excessive wasteful programming and activities like almost 60%, now I'm blanking out, 50% of the discretionary budget going to military expenditures when we really don't need that. We need it to be spend in other ways.
Explain what is meant by discretionary budget.
So there's a mandatory budget, which is mandated by law. So, for example, the Social Security taxes go into the Social Security Trust Fund and have to be used for that purpose. Although they can be loaned to other programs, that's only on a loan basis. And the Medicare Trust Fund, likewise. And then there's a farm bill that mandates a certain amount of money that's spent on farm-related and food and SNAP kind of programs, Other programs are budgeted every year and are approved in Congress and by the president.
All right, let's get back to this All of Us Are None exhibit, because I want to remind our listeners that there is a opening at Paseo Academy Art Gallery this Friday evening from 6:30 to 9, and that coincides with their coffee house, their holiday coffee house, seasonal coffee house. There's also an opening on Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 at the Northeast Library. And but then the other three places are the Plaza Library, the Southeast Library, and Cristo Rey High School. It's a combination of national, part of the national exhibit, along with what you guys were able to bring out of some of our local youth. Royce, what do you think has been most rewarding for you out of this whole experience?
Most rewarding for me is, I guess, first seeing how programs like these being available for local youth. You always see on the news or hear people talking, you know, the youth don't have anything to do, or they're just troublemakers or whatever. But when programs like this come around, I think that we who have the power need to champion them. And the importance of it is youth having something to do to change the world. And I guess secondly is just seeing myself in a lot of the youth and how far I've grown and how far I have to go as well. But being able to listen to their issues and struggles and concerns, that's probably the top two for me. But all around, I just think the All of Us Are None exhibit is going to be very impactful for the Kansas City youth. How many years has this?
This is the first year for this project. Last year, we had done a film project, If I Had $1 Trillion, which was about how youth would spend the U.S. federal budget. We kind of switched to this project thinking that it would allow more youth to be involved, and it has, because it's difficult to create a film.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can all kind of make some kind of a poster that expresses our ideas.
Yeah. So seeing the youth engage themselves into using their voice in this platform that's been provided, it's been great. Seeing the marriage equality, the Black Lives Matter, immigration, just all the different things that are going on, and not having to be on the internet and read comments about it, but hear it from the local youth who are actually going to be the ones to change and to do things about the issues has impacted me personally. So,
yeah, that's great. Anything else coming up? First of all, I do want to let our listeners know that we could probably still squeeze in another phone call or two at 816-931-5534. But in the interim, anything else that AFSC has going on that we want to make sure?
Well, we at AFSC, as people all over the world, are concerned about the rise in extremism and violence, the concern about bombings not only in Paris but in many other places around the world, the homegrown terrorism, sort of the whole culture of violence, and then our response. You know, our response to these horrific attacks are to make horrific attacks in other places. And while it might assuage our anger to send the bombers out to Syria, along with so-called ISIS fighters, are women and children and civilians that are being killed. And I say so-called ISIS fighters is that I just remember that in Afghanistan, that U.S. policy was to consider anyone over the age of, I think, 14 that was in a what they considered a battle area, which was in the communities that people lived, was considered a an enemy.
A combatant.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they're ISIS, but I don't know what by what definition they're using to know that this person is ISIS and that person is just the guy that, the old man that lives, you know, in the apartment next door. So in any case, yes, there are people that are wanting to use violence and against others to further their goals, but I don't think that we should be like those people, and that also I don't think that that is an effective way to deal with this kind of conflict. And in fact, many of our leaders have said that you can't solve a intractable conflict like this through military means, that you have to find diplomatic and other means. And so we need to really get to the root causes. And so AFSC is now exploring how can we focus more attention on alternatives to just sending in the troops and more bombing, because in another 15 years, I don't want to see us still fighting this war and ruining the lives of idealistic young men and women from the U.S. and around the world, and sending them off to war. So we're exploring ways that we can kind of raise that issue and get a really more in-depth debate and analysis, and not just a knee-jerk kind of fear-driven reaction.
Okay, that's good. Well, it sounds like you got your work cut out for you.
We do. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that is very militarized, and you know, we're so deeply immersed in it, I think sometimes we can't even recognize that's what the reality is like. I've gone into college classes, and actually I remember several years ago I went into one, and I realized that all of the young people there had not had in their adult lives ever experienced a time when we weren't, you know, in the war on terror, that they didn't know a time before that was, you know, when there weren't active aggression and hostilities going on. And so that's sort of where we are today, that it's just sort of the norm that there are these fighting going on, and that U.S. troops are advising or actively engaged around the world.
Yeah, it seems to be, like you said, the norm. And it seems to be the norm all around the world. And, you know, at least here, the norm is not, you know, being bombed, per se, like, say, in Afghanistan. Something that, you know, Kathy Kelly said a couple of years ago when she was in town for the, was it the Windows and Mirrors exhibit? That, you know, she's been in Afghanistan and in a lot of places of conflict, and she worked with some female youth in Afghanistan. You know, none of them ever heard of 9/11. Like, you know, that they didn't know anything. Like, to us, that's what, you know, has been the impetus for all of this, and they don't know anything about it, let alone are responsible for it. So that's just something that's always. Mm-hmm. Always stuck with me.
And the reality was that Al-Qaeda was a very small organization, and who predicted that the U.S. would go into Muslim nations and take over, and we basically have fulfilled their warning and become the biggest recruiting tool for them. They've become much more, and then has led to ISIS and other offshoots.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Royce Handy, Ira Harrett, I want to thank you guys so much for coming in this morning and sharing your thoughts, and also for the wonderful work you're doing here in our community. That's really, really great. Larry J is going to be coming up with My Place at 10 o'clock. I'll be back tonight at 8 o'clock for the local showcase. Gerald Trimble, Daryl Lay, Bill Banks, and Sirdar Tungtin are going to be doing a tribute to the Beatles live on some very rare and interesting instruments tonight. So make sure you tune in for that tonight at 8 o'clock. So again, this is Mike Murphy filling in for Tom Clemmer. on Tell Somebody, and do stay tuned. We're Larry J. in my place right after.